Good evening, everyone. Welcome to today's webcast. Thank you for joining us.
As always.
We were just chatting before coming on air. You know, we've been doing this. This is our 12th year now, and we're still amazed that people turn up. We're still amazed that people read our blogs. We're still amazed that people look at our websites and, you know, whatever's available there. And we'll keep on doing it. We were just saying we'll keep on doing it until we don't need to do it anymore. So, yeah, thank you for joining us. Hope you're having a good week. Really appreciate you joining us today. And for those of you in North America, I hope you managed to work out the time difference. Just 4 hours difference today. Next week, we're back to our normal. So next week, East Coast time, it will be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Europe and UK stay the same, 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock. But back to normal for you guys, eh, Barry?
Yay. We feel like we're always, you know, following our big brothers in Europe, you know, making sure that, you know, keep our time straight. So, and of course, Mark, as always, you're the one that helps me even today, you know, after everything we went through last week to make sure I checked on Google to make sure that our time, so I wasn't an hour late or an hour early. So. But next week we won't have that problem.
Well, we feel your pain, Barry, and we're just very grateful that you defer to us over here and allow us to keep the same time, regardless of the time change, and you fit in with us. So we do appreciate.
As it should be, my brother. So
good. And how's the week going?
My week is going well. You know, I'm just behaving myself the best I can. How about you? I understand about gardening. You've been gardening?
Well, yeah, me and gardening don't get on very well. I mean, generally speaking, Fiona does the garden. But I started a project yesterday, which was to cut out. We've got a 25-meter hedge down the side of the garden. I started cutting it, and I did a pretty good job of what I could do. But then all of my tools and everything just weren't man enough because the hedge is very, very thick and intense. So just before we set up, I popped to one of my neighbours and I'm borrowing his chainsaw. Kind of fills me with a bit of horror, but it's a battery chainsaw. And his wife said, "I always feel a bit more comfortable with it being battery rather than petrol."
Yes, yeah. But, I mean, it should do the job for you, so that'll be great.
Yeah, it should do the job.
You know, if you need me to get on a plane and fly over, just let me know.
Well, I thought I could lay on a private jet. There's probably enough private jets going across the Atlantic at the moment. I'm sure we can find one to give you a lift over.
Yeah, stow away.
They might drop you in Glasgow and what have you, but
I bet I'll see John.
You can see John. Well, he lives outside Glasgow now, you see, so.
Yes. You don't want me lost in a big city. Trust it. Trust me, that wouldn't be a pretty picture. So.
No, we don't want you lost in an airport either, as I seem to remember.
Well, yeah. So you need all the land and air support you can get, which you provided. So
there we go.
So do we have any announcements that you want to talk about? What's coming up? Because you've got some things, right?
Well, just a quick one, if I may. Yeah. We've got our two Together Again days. The first one is this Saturday, Lighthouse Community Church, starting at 10 o'clock in the morning, 10 till 4. So this Saturday in near Southampton, the 27th up in Bridge North, basically just bring your own lunch, turn up. You can still register for Saturdays. We are asking people to register. We need to send out a notice tomorrow or Friday with the various COVID requirements and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, obviously you're very welcome to turn up, but if you can register, that would be really helpful. So I'm looking forward to these 2 days, just an opportunity to get together and see people again after so long. And then the other thing just want to mention is we've got our Father Heart School in Shropshire, in England, next March, calling it Encounter the Father's Love, and just a week to really have a relaxed time where we can really receive the love of the Father into our hearts, where we can really have a revelation of who he is. And I know many of you who are watching the webcast, you've been on these schools before, You are more than welcome to come back and do it again. We'd love to welcome you to that. But what about all those friends? What about all those people in your church? What about all those people in your small groups who haven't quite got hold of what you've got hold of yet and kind of look at you and wonder what it's all about? Well, this is their opportunity. So feel free to share the Facebook posts. Feel free to invite people. We would just love to welcome as many of your friends or you who want to come along. I'm doing this school in March with Wynette from the Netherlands, and just really looking forward to that week. So that's my two notices. You got anything?
That's amazing? Awesome, mate. Nothing comes to mind. Of course, you know, we're talking about trust tonight, and of course, there's a story about trust that where I did kind of lose my mind with you in Holland. So that's kind of an appropriate, for me to have a seniors moment now and just kind of go blank. So
maybe you'll have opportunity to share your wonderful story a little bit later.
Appropriate. So
I'm thinking, Barry, with all of your other stories that you've created over the years of fun happenings, there's probably more than one there that's got trust as an element.
Yeah.
Probably more so on Anne's part than your part.
Her level of trust in God and keeping me out of trouble is probably it. But so you're gonna open up tonight, right? You're gonna begin to share with that. But would you mind if I open in prayer first and then pass it on to you?
Feel free, my friend.
Alrighty. So, Father, we thank you that trust is just a gift that we can give to you, and it just touches your heart like not much else can. And, Father, we just want to trust you in a greater way than we've ever known before. And Father, the truth is you are trustworthy. Mm-hmm. You are faithful. And would you just continue to convince us of that tonight, that we would be able to really believe you and know and rely on and trust in the love that you have for us. So, Father, we pray for Mark and just what's on his heart to share. And, Father, that we would all have open hearts. And we just all continue to go deeper in that journey of trust, because it is a continuum that we're all on. We're all growing deeper into this revelation of love. And you are so patient and kind with us, and that you understand why we struggle to trust. But I pray, Father, that tonight would be another opportunity for us all to take one step closer to just the intimacy and the love and the joy of just you being our dad.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jesus, for making all this possible. Amen.
Thank you, my
friend. All right, Mitty.
I'll call you back in a few minutes.
Sure.
So, just welcome again, everybody. Thanks for joining us. I don't know, some of you will probably get my weekly emails, which I call weekly signpost. And if you don't, you're welcome to go to my website and subscribe to those. But just over the last couple of weeks, I've been doing a little mini series on the book of Philippians. Because I read through Philippians recently, and it suddenly struck me that this is a book, this is a letter, it's a letter Paul wrote. And it's about trust. And I just started to see that this little letter is really about trusting in him and then seeing some of the fruits of that trust. So I've been doing this little series on my weekly signpost, but I've also, on my website, I have another blog, which I've called Walking as Jesus Walked. And that's where I put longer blog postings, kind of, occasional rather than regular. I've kind of put all of these weekly signposts together and added a few extra bits into the longer post, Walking as Jesus Walked. And again, you can read that on the website. You can sign up to receive that as well. Just go to the relevant page on the website and sign up. But just wanted to sort of open it up this evening as a topic of discussion. And, you know, in a few minutes when I've just kind of introduced it, I'll bring Barry back and we'll just kind of chat about it together. Because trust is something that's can be quite challenging for us, because it's taking us outside of ourselves. And my question really I want to start with as we start this topic of trust is, do you believe in something bigger than yourself? Do you believe in something bigger than yourself? Because I think that's kind of the central question about trust. Because if we do, then it's trust that takes us into that. And if we don't believe in anything bigger than ourselves, what we will discover very quickly is that our lives become small. They become restricted to what we can achieve or who we can become. You know, if my life is all about me, it's really, really boring. It's just about what I can do, where I can go, what I can achieve. It's limited to me. And I really believe there is something bigger than me. I hope we all believe that. There is something bigger than us. And I want us to set our sights on that a little bit this evening, that there is something bigger than our lives. We don't have to live a restricted life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the message says, your lives are not small, but you're living them in a small way. I think it's 2 Corinthians 6, about 12 or 13, verse 12 or 13, And I just like the way the message says, you know, your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. And in some ways that can be quite easy for us to do. In some ways it feels safe. But I want to throw that out there as like a clarion call for us this evening, that our lives are not small. You know, I really believe we've been set free from a restricted place. You know, one of the verses I love is Job, Job 36, where Job says, you know, you've drawn me out of the place of restriction into the wide open space. And I know that's been the case in my own life. And I know I do not want to go back to that place of restriction. You know, I don't want to go back to that place where I'm hemmed in or bound up. I want to live in that place, that wide open space. I want to live a life that's free from restriction. The other thing it says in Job is, you've led me into the wide open space and laid before me a table of comfort. And, you know, this wide open space might feel like it's scary because there's no restrictions, but actually in the middle of that wide open space, there is a table of comfort with good, you know, good provisions for us. And so tonight I really just want to encourage us to think bigger than ourselves. Not that we have to try and make anything happen, not that we have to try and be something or do something, but we actually see that our Father is bigger than perhaps we've ever imagined. You know, I've come across over the years, I've come across many, many people who are satisfied with the way their lives are. They feel very self-contained and they feel that they've got everything they need and they feel that, you know, they're content. And you know, on one level that's okay, but and it may be satisfying enough, but after a while what I've noticed is it leaves us feeling frustrated because we wonder, is there something that we're missing out on? And I believe that as we walk with the Father, as we walk with Jesus, as we live in the Spirit, the eyes of our heart are opened up to something that is bigger than just us. That doesn't mean we all suddenly become raving extroverts and want to take over the planet. No, we still are who we are, but we are looking beyond our own life. And, you know, each one of us, you know, that's going to be different because, you know, our spheres, our boundaries, our contentment, if you like, it's all different, and that's absolutely fine. But I believe there's something bigger than ourselves. See, that I think it's built into us to dream, and you know, always have a dream. I remember James Jordan saying one time, "Don't ever get to the stage when all your dreams have been fulfilled." Because what's left to think about? What's left to dream about? What's left to search for, to long for? Now, I've got a lot of dreams. There's lots of things I would like to see happen, and it would be nice if they all happened, but I'm not sure that they will. You know, that's just the reality of life, isn't it? Some of the things we long for, some of the things we dream for, they don't happen, but I really believe it's important to keep that dream alive and to keep dreaming. To keep dreaming. Because those dreams take us beyond the confines of ourselves. You know, one of the things I love doing, I love standing on a cliff by the sea. And I love looking out across the sea, particularly at sunsets. And I love watching the sun go down over the horizon, because there's always something beyond the horizon. You know, there's just something over the edge. And it's one of the reasons I like traveling. You know, people say, well, why do you like traveling? Why do you like sitting in an airport? Why do you like sitting on a plane for hours on end? And there's just something about it that I really enjoy. I actually quite like sitting in the airport. I like watching people. I like looking at how they're reacting to their circumstances, whether they're relaxed and comfortable or tense or whatever. I love the experience of flying, particularly when you've got a clear sky and you can see the ocean beneath you, or you can see the land. And you know, I love geography, so I try and work out where we are at any point in time. And I love going to other places to meet other people, to see other cultures, and just to experience that. You see, for me, there's always something more over the horizon. And it's just beyond the edge, and I just can't see it. And there's a yearning in me to travel, to see places and so on. But I believe there's that same yearning inside of us to go beyond the horizon of our desire, to go beyond the horizon of our experience, to go beyond the horizon of our faith, in a sense, to see what is just over the edge, to see what is just out of our reach. And it's not a journey we do on our own. It's not a journey we do in our own strength. It's a journey we do with our Father. And I want to encourage you today to dream, to seek, to yearn, to desire for what's beyond the horizon in your life. There may be things that you know are just out of your reach, and I want to encourage you to have that desire to see them come about. But for us to pursue what is beyond, what is over the horizon, it takes trust. It takes trust. Trust is taking steps that we don't think we can take. You know, and that can be scary. isn't it? You know, it's like we know we've got to take steps, but we don't think we can do it. And that's where we do it with our Father, because he's with us. He's gone before us. It says in Deuteronomy that he's gone before us, you know, and we just walk in his wake. We just follow where he's going. And so trust is taking steps that we don't think we can take. It's going one or maybe many steps beyond what we think we're capable of. It's pursuing the more. And trust, when we put our trust in our Heavenly Father, it enables us to take hold of the unknown future and begin to bring it into the present. See, I don't need to have trust particularly to know that when I turn on a light switch in my house, the light will come on. You know, I have experienced that so many times that I know when I flick the switch, the light will come on. Now, if I get into a new situation where I'm, say for example, some new software. You know, I've got no idea how it works, no idea what I need to do. You know, there's an element of trust in stepping out into the unknown. Now, of course, that's a very frivolous example, but we've all got examples like that where some things we don't have experience of, and as we step out into those new things, that's trust. Barry said at the beginning in his prayer, we know and rely the love that God has for us. You see, those are experiential words, as I think we said last week. We can rely, which is another word for trust, we can rely on the love that God has for us because we've experienced it. And as we believe that what is beyond the horizon can come into our reach, can be grasped, that's trust. Trust says, yes, I can take hold of the things I don't know, the things I haven't experienced, and I can bring them into the reality of the present. And then, of course, you know, there's next steps to take after that. Trust is not static. Trust is something that I believe we will go on growing in for the rest of our lives. You know, we must never think that anything to do with our Christian faith is static, because there's always more. And if we ever think we've got there or made it, all we've done is bring God down to our level, our limited level. He's bigger than us, and you know, he's way, 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 way greater than we can ever think or imagine. And so there's this desire, I hope there's this desire in us to keep on yearning, to keep on seeking, to keep on believing that what is just over the horizon, we can see. And we can walk into, we can step into, we can live to see those things. In Philippians 4 verse 7, Paul tells us that the peace of Christ goes beyond our understanding. Yeah, wouldn't it be great if not only we knew that peace, but we lived in it continually? Yeah, that's a challenge. But somehow it has to be possible for us to know it. Perhaps not to fully experience it, but to at least begin to experience it in an increasing measure. Because the peace of God goes beyond our understanding. And that's what trust says. Trust says, Father, you've spoken about that peace, and I want to live in it. I know now that I live in much more peace than I used to live in. You know, as I've learned to allow myself to be carried by my Father, as I've learned to live in that embrace of love, I know I experience that peace much, much more. And I want to go on experiencing more of that peace. See, there is a bigger picture for all of our lives. And yes, we might just sense it's outside of our grasp. It's over the horizon. We've got no idea how to find it, perhaps, let alone live in it. It's a dream. But I want to encourage you to keep on dreaming and trusting that part of that dream, at least part of that dream, if not all of it, will become a reality. And I want to encourage you to believe that too. That those things you dream for, that they can become a reality. Don't let it remain a dream, but begin to believe that you can live in the promises that God has for you. In Psalm 138, verse 8, it says this: "The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands." You know, we're very good at making plans. I'm very good at making plans. I like planning. Some of my plans will happen. Others fall by the wayside. You know, there may be nothing wrong with our plans. They may be good for us, but sometimes they come and go. But God, the Father, our Father, my Father, your Father, he has a purpose for you and me that is rooted in eternity, and it will stand forever. Proverbs 19 verse 21 tells us that the plans of the Lord stand forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. See, his purpose for you is not so much the journey, although that can be important. His purpose is much more about the destination. And that destination, I believe, is the relationship with him that we so often talk about. You know, that living in unity with him, that living in intimacy with him, that walking with him as sons and daughters. See, we like to go from A to B, don't we? You know, if I'm going somewhere in my car, I want the quickest route from A to B. Actually, I tell my sat nav I want the fastest route. I don't want the scenic routes. I don't want, you know, I want the fastest. You know, we want to get from A to B. And sometimes we think that this journey of faith, this journey of trusting the Father is linear like that. And life's not perfect. Sometimes it would be wonderful if it was linear and it was A to B. But, you know, sometimes we make mistakes. We take diversions. We wonder what's going on. We wonder where we're going. We wonder what's happening. The twists and turns of life's journey can be very confusing, and they can cause us to doubt. And so we doubt ourselves, and we doubt God. But I want to just say to you guys that God is not bothered about your diversions. We think he is, we think he should be, but he's like, you know, I don't think he's too fussed about our diversions, because his purpose for you, his purpose for me, is bigger than our plans for ourselves, however good they may be. His purpose is rooted in eternity, and he has promised to accomplish it. Let me say that again. His purpose for you is rooted in eternity, and he has promised to accomplish it. And that's where trust comes in. Can we trust him enough? Can we trust him enough so we lay aside our plans and we allow him to lead us, him to take us over the horizon into all those new things that he's got for us? You know, he who began a good work in you will complete it. Philippians 1:6. I'm sure of this, Paul says, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. You know, God the Father has begun a good work in your heart, and he will complete it. I think sometimes we think, oh, it's our job to complete it. You know, God's done a good work in us, and what have I got to do to accomplish it? And so we take over the responsibility, whereas actually he's saying, no, I'll accomplish it. I began it, I'll finish it. And all we have to do is go, oh, yeah, duh. That's where trust comes in. And let me tell you, He does a much better job of it than you or I could do. You know, that's what trust is about, is saying, Father, you started this, you'll finish it. I'm just going to put my little hand in your big hand, and I'm going to let you lead me. And I'm going to trust that what you have for me is a good and perfect plan, which is way better than anything I could think of. And if I make the odd mistake and if I take the wrong turn, your plan is eternal and it will stand forever. One of the recurring themes of Paul's letters is that we are in Christ. And I've meditated on that a lot over the last few years. You know, what does it mean to be in Christ? I mean, very simply, just in a word, it means sonship. It means living as sons, living as a daughter. It's living in Christ is sonship. It's walking as Jesus walked. It's having the same relationship with the Father as Jesus had. That's our true home. And when the focus of our love is on him, we will be drawn into a greater intimacy with the Trinity. And as we become secure in our relationship with him, we begin to see, we begin to experience that actually our Father knows. He knows all we need. He cares. He understands about everything we're going through. And it's in Matthew chapter 6, you know, Jesus says, you know, look at the birds of the air, look at the plants. They don't have any worries, but yet God cares for them. How much more would he care for you? That's trust. That's trust when we say, Father, I believe that you know, that you care, that you understand, and I'm going to believe you to work it out. I'm going to trust you to provide what I need, rather than chasing after it myself and trying to make it happen. I'm going to trust you. One of the things, one of the miracles I believe that happens when we do that, is when we begin to trust him, when we begin to realize that he is the source of everything we need, it takes the focus of our gaze off ourselves, and we can begin to turn outward. We can begin to see that it's not all about us. It's not all about my needs, my desires. The eyes of our heart are opened, and perhaps also the eyes of our mind, perhaps also our physical eyes are opened, and we see a hurting world. We see a world full of pain. We see a world full of need. We see a world in crisis. When we take our eyes off ourselves and we stop worrying about our own needs and our own wants, and we trust our Father, we start to see that there's a world out there that needs to be loved. And that just as our Father provides for us, so he can provide for them too. See, that's, I believe, a miracle that happens in our heart as we begin to live loved. As we begin to live loved, you know, what we discover is that we begin to be loving. We love because he first loved us. And we see, we have the eyes to see a world that needs to know what we know. And that's what Philippians, that's what Paul writes about in Philippians. He says in chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, that if we are walking in the Spirit, you know, if we've got the same love that he's got, that he's talking about, that we will stop doing things out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, and we will begin to consider others above ourselves, not looking to our own interests, because we've got a Father who's providing for us. We don't need to look to our own interests, because we're learning to rely on the love that the Father has, and that love will care for us, will provide for us. And so we can begin to consider others. Paul writes in Philippians that he considers, you know, everything that he'd acquired beforehand, you know, all of his education, all of his position, all of his reputation. He says, I consider it rubbish. The actual word that's used is, I consider it dung, you know. I consider it rubbish when I consider the joy of knowing him and being found in him. And I really believe that's the truth for us too. That we become so concerned about position, we become so concerned about reputation, we become so concerned about financial security, health, and all these other things, which are all good, but they can consume us and eat us away, and we can become very driven as we try to sort of make all these things happen and gather all these things for ourselves. And you know, we feel we've got to have, you know, a new phone comes out, you know, the new iPhone. Oh, I've got to have it. Why? Well, it's got a better camera. It's got more memory. It's got a faster processor. And they do them in new colours. I must have one. You know, it's like there's a lack of contentment in the world today. You know, we're always looking to acquire more or have more or do more or be more. And our lives are just this sort of continual cycle of not being content. And the Father's just standing there and saying, hey, why don't you trust me? Why don't you trust me? Because as we trust him, we actually discover something incredible. We discover what true contentment is. See, not many people are content. Contentment is, you know, people think they'll be content if they have the latest, or if they have possessions, if they have financial security. They're not. Contentment is much deeper than possessions. Contentment is much deeper than ministry. It's much deeper than titles. It's much deeper than function. Contentment is the state of our heart. You know, Paul says in Philippians, he says, I have learned to be content whether I'm in need or whether I have plenty. Because those things didn't matter to him. They're useful, they're nice to have, but they didn't matter. What mattered to him, what mattered to Paul, was being found in him. And, you know, really that's my encouragement for us today, is trust is about being found in him. As we trust in him, we're found in him, and that will lead us to a place of contentment. That will lead us to a place of contentment. And we will discover that true contentment is deeper than possessions, it's deeper than ministry, it's deeper than our title, it's deeper than our function, it's deeper than what we do or what we have or what we have to be. Contentment is simply being found in him. And that's trust. That's the journey of trust. Is as we trust our Father, that he knows and he cares, he understands, that he will lead us into that place where we can say, I am content. It is well with my soul. Yeah, I would encourage you to read Philippians, you know, over the next day or so. Read it in the context of what I've been saying about trust, and you will see so many instances where, you know, that's what Paul's writing about. It sounds so simple, but I realise for many of us, and this, you know, also for myself, that however simple I made it about the desire, the dream of what's over the horizon, I also know that it's also the complex process of letting go. It's the complex process of letting go, and that's not always easy. I don't know if it's ever easy, to be honest. It's recognizing that we can't do it on our own, that our striving will lead to frustration and cause us to be robbed of peace. But trust says that our Father is bigger. And our only response is to have a childlike heart of rest and dependency on Him. Trust takes us beyond what we can see, as it enables us to reach over the horizon and make the unknown our reality. For each one of us, that's different, but I hope and believe you can find it to be exciting. So Barry, why don't you come back and join me? And you can tell us all your funny stories of trust.
Oh, mate, that was really good. I just think that it's spot on. I think the whole idea of trust is something that Brennan Manning, for those who have known this author, he wrote a book called Ruthless Trust. And if you haven't read it, I would encourage, if it's something that's, stirs you up. He's gone on to be with the Lord now, but he just talks about just the value that trust has with God. He just absolutely loves it. And I can't make the quote perfectly, but it just said that God found trust so enchanting that Jesus died for the love of it. I believe that's the quote that he has. And I just think it's one of the building blocks of our faith. It's because when I found it interesting when, if you look at the root words in the Greek, and I'm not a scholar in any way, shape, or form, but the root word for trust, believe, and faith is all the same. It's all tied into the root, and it's a different expression. So you really can't have faith in somebody unless you trust them. You can't believe in something. Like you said, I'm sitting on a chair now, and if I didn't have a trust that the chair would hold my weight and I wouldn't flip over another story, I wouldn't sit in it. And I think that's one of the things that, and you just talked about that. It's just, it's a building block of our life with living with the Father. And like you said, when we are able to, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding in all your, in all your ways, that he will guide you and make you pass straight. And I think that if we don't trust, we lean to our own understanding. Mm-hmm. We lean to our own devices and our resources. And like you said, we end up being, consumed with this idea that, we have to protect ourselves and provide for ourselves. And all the while, mm-hmm. Papa's just saying, jump, I'll catch you, just trust me, enjoy life. And so I just think, I mean, this is it's a journey I think we're all on. And I think it's a continuum, isn't it? It's something that we're all learning every day to trust Papa with. And then I always liken it to my kids when they were little. We used to have this game, and I don't know if you guys did it, Mark, but the kids would get on the stairs, and then they'd go up one or two stairs, and then they would just say, "Okay, Daddy, catch me," and they'd just jump into my arms, and then they'd go up and they get brave and go three steps up, and they would have more confidence that I would catch them than I had confidence that I would catch them. And of course, they were little, but now as all in their mid-30s, that I don't think any one of them would get down the stairs and leap into my arms. And of course, I wouldn't want them to either. But, I think there is something, an element that the Father wants to restore childlike trust to us. Yeah. And you had mentioned that. And it just, this idea of that faith of a little child, where, where we have that beautiful boldness to say, my daddy is the biggest dad in the world, and it's just like, all of the things that nullify us or disqualify us or we can't even get out of the gate because we're so preoccupied with all of our focus on our own inabilities. And I just believe the Father, and it's for love's sake, right? It's 1 John 4:16. So we know and rely on, or we know and trust in the love that God has for us. in God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God lives in him. And I just believe that that basic foundational childlike trust is something that the Father wants to restore in all of us, mm-hmm. In greater measure every day. I really believe that, like, and when I think of, you know, a quote from our friend James Jordan, who said, if you've lost something, you have to go back to where you lost it to find it. And oftentimes, you know, many of us have had trust taken away or broken when we were little. And I just believe the Father wants to come in his love right now to each and every one of us and just wrap his arms around us. He understands why, how trust was violated in our lives. He understands why we may struggle to trust him out. And in 2 Timothy, it says, even when we are faithless, he remains faithful. Yeah. Because he cannot deny who he is. And I just believe even, you know, what you had shared tonight, Mark, was so powerful in that, you know, just that just the practical response to saying, Father, I want to trust you. And I think of that man, who brought his son to Jesus and wanted him to be delivered. And Jesus asked him a question, do you believe? And the man answered really authentically, honestly. He didn't try to tell Jesus what he was hoping to say, but he was very honest. But he said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And, you know, so there is this honest, transparent, yeah. I think we can say that to God even today. Lord, I trust you, mm-hmm. but help my mistrust. Help the areas in my heart that... that struggle to trust you. And of course, we know from that story in the Gospels that was enough for Jesus. He wasn't looking for any other bold or unauthentic declaration. He was looking for an honest response. And yeah, so I thanks so much for sharing that. I just think that trust is something that is so valuable to God that Jesus died for the love of it. And I think one of the things with trust is too, is that it's a unique opportunity that we have this side of heaven.
Yeah.
Because when we see Jesus face to face, when we're in the presence of the Father, the ability to have faith is not necessary in the sense because we're in his presence. Mm-hmm. But this side of heaven, when you know we are struggling and when we do feel there's opposition and disappointments and things, to be able to cry out, Lord, I trust you, help my mistrust. I just believe it touches the Father's heart like nothing else does. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So thanks, mate, for that. That was awesome.
Good stuff. Well, do you just want to pray, Barry, for... let's just pray for folks, shall we? I think, you know, people struggle with trust, don't we all do? Oh. We all struggle with trust, you know, and yeah. So people are in situations now and... need to know the Father's with them. Because he is. He's with you. He's with you in your situation. And you might struggle with that. You might not be aware of his presence, but he is with you.
Yeah.
And the simpler we make trust, the more powerful it will be. The more we strip it back to that just childlike dependence. Yes, yes, Dad. I know you can do it.
Yeah.
And we throw out the problems, we throw up the reasons why it's not going to work, we throw up the hesitations, we throw up the all of our negative stuff. But a child, like Barry said, the children just jump off the stair. I took my grandkids to the a park last weekend, and in this park area they had a model tractor, and Asher, he could climb onto the top of the tractor, and it was about a metre and a half off the ground. Maybe a meter 60 off the ground, and he was standing on top of this tractor, and I said, jump into my arms, and he wouldn't do it, first of all. So I put my arms up right up to him, and he did, you know, he basically stepped into my arms the first time, and then he said again, and he went back up there, and my arms were a bit lower down, and on about the third time he was actually jumping into my arms. Wow. And then he, like Barry says, you have that panic. Am I going to catch? And it's just that simplicity that says, yeah.
Yeah.
My dad will do it. So
yeah.
Let's just open our hearts. If you've got, if there's something you're struggling with right now and you just know you need to give it to him, We just want to pray that you're, you know, like Barry said, I believe. Help my unbelief. That's so real. That's where we are all at so often.
Yeah.
Do you want to kick off, mate?
Yeah, Father, we thank you that you love us and you understand us. And your heart is filled with compassion for us. You know how we were made. You remember that we came from dust. You know our frailties. You know our struggles, Father. You know how trust has been violated in our lives. And even in our situation tonight, and every one of our stories is different around the world, Father, I just pray now by the power of your Holy Spirit that love would come. Mm-hmm. Love would come to the little boy inside. Love would come to the little girl who just needs a dad. And Father, that I just get the sense that the Father is just, it's kind of like a gentle coaxing in the sense that he said, like, you can do it. I believe in you. You can do it. And I think there's just this invitation to kind of take that baby step towards him. And maybe it's like little Asher who's maybe not quite comfortable to dive into his grandpa's arms, but maybe just that step into it. I think the Father is just reaching out his arms to you. And he's just like, it's not, I'm right here.
Yeah.
So, Father, would you just help each and every one of us on our journey of trust? And you know what we need to trust in you with all our heart. And you know how we need to lean not to our own understanding, Father, and how so many of us have tried to process life and tried to manage even our Christian life through our intellect. Mm-hmm. And we just know that you pour your love into our hearts. And we just pray now, Father, that there'd just be a surrendering to you, a beautiful surrender to just your love and to trust in you in a deeper way than we've ever experienced before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Father.
Wow.
Thank you, Father. I just want to read that verse from Job that I mentioned. It's Job 36, verse 16. He is wooing you. That's a drawing of love. It's romantic.
Yeah.
He is wooing you from the jaws of distress to a spacious place free from restriction, to the comfort of your table laden with choice food.
Wow.
And Father, I want to thank you. That's your heart for each one of us. Is that we would be drawn out of that place of restriction. Father, that you're wooing us, you're drawing us with love.
Yeah.
Into a wide, open space. To the comfort of a table laden with good things.
Yeah.
And Father, I just ask that you would cause us to have enough trust to believe that is possible. How much faith do we need? Jesus said the size of a mustard seed. Not very much at all. But Father, would you just take our hand this evening and lovingly, gently and kindly, would you draw us out of that place of restriction into that wide open space of freedom?
Yeah.
Father, if there are very real concerns and challenges that we're facing today, that we're trying to struggle through and find answers to and work out what to do, Father, may we just put our little hand in your big hand and trust that you know all the answers. And however frustrating it is, Father, you reveal the answer to us as we need to hear it. I know sometimes we would all like that answer in its completeness, but he reveals what we need to know when we need to know it.
Mm-hmm.
Father, help us to walk trusting you, believing that there is something bigger than our own little life. As a wide open space to enjoy. And And I kind of feel that wide open space has got a party going on as well. Yeah. Yeah. Well, thanks, folks. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back same time. Well, we'll be back same place next week. For most of us, it will be the same time. But
yes,
as we said, for those of you in North America, it will be back to normal.
Back whatever, to normal.
Whatever normal is. So thanks for joining us. Bless you all. Have a great week.
Bless you guys. Thank you. Thanks. See you next week.
Thanks, Barry.